Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. We're also brought to you today by ZipRecruiter. Right now, listeners to Three Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. So, Jim, as we begin here, we should probably note that it is D-Day plus 73 years. It was this day in June of 1944 that Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt ultimately decided against the hashtag campaign against the Nazis and launched the Normandy invasion on the landing beaches and created that second front in the western part of Europe. And less than a year later, the war in Europe was over. So thank you to those of you still with us who were part of that operation and part of the World War II generation. And, of course, we always thank anyone who has worn the uniform of our military with honor. Let's go to our good martini, Jim, and let's start with the good news that somebody's actually gotten in trouble for leaking classified information to the press. And to make it even more fun, the alleged leaker is named, yes, Reality Winner. This is the statement from the Justice Department, and a lot of this is redacted, so this will sound kind of strange because the U.S. government agency involved is not listed, nor is the actual media outlet specifically listed. So here is the statement in part from the Justice Department. On June 1st, 2017, the FBI was notified by the U.S. government agency that the U.S. government agency had been contacted by the news outlet on May 30th, 2017 regarding an upcoming story. The news outlet informed the government that it was in possession of what it believed to be a classified document authored by the U.S. government agency. The news outlet provided the U.S. government agency with a copy of this document. Subsequent analysis by the U.S. government agency confirmed that the document in the news outlet's possession is the intelligence reporting. The intelligence reporting is classified at the top secret level, indicating that its unauthorized disclosure could reasonably result in exceptionally grave damage to national security. Later on, they did an investigation at this U.S. government agency, determined that six individuals printed out this report. Only one of them, though, had contact with a news outlet, and that was Reality Winner.
I was going to point out that, can you imagine the meeting where they finally tracked it down? Boss, good news. We found the leaker. Who is it? Reality Winner. Okay, we know the alias, but what's her real name? Fascinating little detail I'm seeing here. So apparently, most new printers print nearly invisible yellow dots that can be used to track down when and where they were printed. And of course, the NSA logs all of the printing jobs on their printers. So they were able to use this to match up who printed the document, Reality Winner. So here's the first thing. If you're going to leak something to the media, probably, you know, printing it out at work is probably going to be a trouble. Like, maybe you want to photocopy it is. Maybe you want to retype it yourself. Maybe do you want to do something to cover your tracks a little bit better? Because if you ignore this, you're just not dealing with you're just not living in what's the word I'm looking for here? Actuality, I suppose. And look, and you'll end up getting arrested, and then you're not a successful person. You're not a Reality Winner. I mean, I just want to point out, Greg, you know that at some point in the Bond films, they considered naming one of the Bond girls Reality Winner and said, no, nobody's going to buy that. Yeah. We meet again, Reality Winner. But your idea of victory is only fantasy. You knew this is how we were going to address this. Yes, first of all, thank goodness. Look, whatever you think of government whistleblowing, and you know, this was not an abuse of power. And, you know, at some point, there are proper channels to go through these sorts of exposures. And in the post-Edward Snowden era, it just feels, you know, we can't have our policy on secrecy and classified information up to the individual conscience of every single person who walks through the door at NSA. And, oh, by the way, I understand this woman was a translator. NSA, what are you doing? Giving her access to everything. I understand that Snowden was there for a couple of weeks when he was given keys to the kingdom. Just how much access do these people need? I can't figure out what Jonah Goldberg is working on half the time. And yet somehow the NSA, oh, can I get the nuclear launch codes? Okay, yeah, here's the password. Piece of cake. What is it, on a yellow post-it note next to the computer? I don't know. Anyway, so It is good to see finally somebody's getting prosecuted for a leak. Yes, I know as a reporter, I'm supposed to always be cheering for leaks. But look, some of these leaks end up doing damage. When we had that information about the Manchester attack that ended up in the press and really irked the UK. Look, if you got to wait 48 hours or 72 hours or some amount of time to show me pictures of the bomb or something like that, yeah, there's compelling public interest in this. But you know what? I really want to catch terrorists, too, before we get to the next one. So I'd like everybody who handles classified information to take those oaths seriously and not treat it like the thing that you always hit I accept when it comes to the rules to iTunes. Every time there's an update, you hit yes, I accept, and you don't realize it in the fine print that actually says you're turning over your firstborn or something like that. Like, if you take an oath to protect classified information, you're supposed to take it seriously. We kind of made this an issue back in the presidential election.
A little bit, yeah.
And so hopefully, just as, you know, Hillary Clinton turned out to not be a winner because she couldn't handle classified information correctly, the same thing apparently is happening to reality.
Yeah, apparently she's
not even trying to make puns. It turns out this way when you're named that.
Yes, exactly. Her parents probably deserve a little bit of blame for this, given that name. Jim, as I mentioned at the outset, she's apparently a Bernie supporter. Looking at her Twitter feed, a lot of folks have found some pretty far left stuff. So not to drive the pun a whole lot farther, but if there are two words that don't describe the left in 2016, reality and winner are both on that list. So. All right, let's move on to the bad martini now. Jim, the reason that Reality Winner was passing this along to a media outlet, which it appears was The Intercept, was due to the fact that the report dealt with Russian efforts, allegedly, to interfere with U.S. voting systems. And so then, of course, the question becomes, did the Russians actually impact the vote tallies? That got Tim Kaine. Everybody remembers him, of course, right, as the running mate for Hillary Clinton. He's a Virginia senator. He was on Erin Burnett's program on CNN, and she asked him point blank whether this means that he thinks that the vote tally was impacted in any way. And his answer is, let's just call it less than clear.
Do you think the vote count could have been affected by the Russians?
Oh, I definitely think so. And let's just make a distinction here. I don't think anybody has suggested that the actual tallies on the machines were affected, although that's certainly something we should look at. But I haven't heard anybody suggest that there's evidence that that occurred. But when the combined weight of the intelligence committees say that Russia was engaging in a wide-ranging pattern of action to affect the election, to say there was, we can determine that there was no effect, you'd be foolish to say that.
So very slick answer there, saying absolutely the Russians could have affected the vote tally. Now, we have no evidence they actually did that. But then he goes and talks about some of the other allegations that are out there. Erin Burnett, to her credit, follows up and she gets more word salad.
So you're not concerned. You're saying that they could have, by getting this information to people's emails or whatever, swayed individual votes. But you are not yet at this point, even with this new information, concerned that vote tallies could have been impacted when they were looking at voter registration.
I think the right way to say it is I have no evidence to suggest that the tallies of the votes were affected by what Russia did. But we got to get to the bottom of it. I mean,
Jim, talk about sowing the seeds of doubt, even about what has been clearly stated by virtually everyone in a position to know.
Look, I'm not saying I didn't lose the presidential election. I'm just saying it's possible I didn't lose the presidential election. But let's all go on from normal from here. Yeah. Look, I on the one hand, I suppose I should give the network credit for finding Tim Kaine. I thought he had gone into the witness protection program after the 2016 election. The word salad that you accurately could describe there, look, if you're Russian foreign intelligence, do we suspect they would like to muck around in the vote totals and undermine public faith in the accuracy of the vote count? Yeah, sure. I would assume that from the beginning. Lots of people would like to do that, right? I mean, this is why we have security on these sorts of systems. There could be Russians who'd want to do it. There'd be Americans who want to do it. Like, you know, that's one of the things, these things have to be protected. We do have a history of people mucking around and altering the results of elections in this country. Look back to 1960 if you want to. But there's one thing between the Russians tried and the Russians succeeded and being able to say, look, let's recount the ballots. Let's take a look, you know, and up, we found out we actually, the vote, what was reported doesn't actually match the pile of ballots we have. We have a whole process here. We have secretaries of state. We have whole offices in states that are designed to ensure the sanctity of the ballot here. So it's not surprising that Tim Kaine, wanting to avoid his level of responsibility for being on the most strikingly disappointing, arguably the biggest losers in you know, U.S. presidential history, certainly one of the biggest upsets in U.S. presidential history. It's not surprising he's going to want to play up this angle because it means that it's not really his fault. And the fact that he was a wet noodle in the debate against Mike Pence suddenly gets kind of washes away. He can point out, hey, look, we carried my home state and it's not really my fault. Everything's fine. We didn't really lose. It's disappointing and frustrating by this, but I believe there's two polls by YouGov. One from a couple of months ago, it had it around 50% of Democrats thought that the Russians had altered the vote totals. And I think last poll had it up to 55%. So despite the fact that we keep saying, look, this is not why the Russians are not the reason Donald Trump is president of the United States. It is because of the way the vote came out in the Electoral College. He won Michigan. He won Pennsylvania. He won Wisconsin. All states the Hillary Clinton campaign thought they had in the bag. Turned out they didn't. They were all very close. But this is the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. And it's kind of fascinating just to see how much they're willing to fan the flames of this. And along the way, kind of, you know, do the job of the Russians for them. Because the Russians want Americans to believe that their elections are the sham. The Russians want the world to believe that American elections are a sham. And right now, there are a healthy number of Democrats who are perfectly happy to agree with that message and to amplify that message because it makes them feel better.
Yay.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Jim, there's a lot of people who should never have been hired, should possibly... Tim Kaine should not have been hired, certainly for the running mate for Hillary Clinton. The people of Virginia have made some very poor decisions as it relates to Tim Kaine, first for governor, actually first for lieutenant governor, then governor, and then senator. Hiring reality winner was probably not a very good idea. And when we get to our crazy martini, it turns out personnel might be an issue there, too. So let's talk about hiring the right people, shall we? Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. In fact, more than 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just one day, less than 24 hours. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can simply screen, rate, and manage the candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to 3 Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Yep, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time. Open the tab now. Wait till we're done before you go there, please. But go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. All right. On to another personnel headache. Let's go over to Axios. That's the new media creation of Politico veterans Mike Allen and Jim Vandehei. And here is issue number one. Today from Mike Allen. With CNN's clock already counting down to fired FBI Director Jim Comey's testimony on Thursday morning, where's the White House war room? Remember the scandal containment unit that was supposed to quarantine the rest of the White House from Russia questions so that President Trump could pursue a positive agenda with the Clinton-style scandal machinery handling the investigations? I'm told the inside-outside machinery, as envisioned by aides who frantically planned it while Trump finished his overseas trip, may never exist. Top Republicans say the White House has been unable to lure some of the legal and rapid response talent they had been counting on. White House counsel Don McGahn had drawn up an organizational chart that Trump's team liked, but game day is 48 hours away and the boxes still aren't filled. A person in the conversation said, quote, they had a pretty good structure, but they're not able to close the deal. Reasons include some power lawyers' reluctance to work with or for lead Trump lawyer Mark Kasowitz, resistance by Kasowitz to more cooks in his kitchen, and lack of confidence that Trump would stick to advice. Some prospects worry about possible personal legal bills and are skeptical that Trump can ultimately right the ship. And it says also there's some top GOP operatives worried that Trump is in a very tenuous position politically and otherwise. So Jim, we'll see what Comey has to say. The networks are certainly treating this like it's the Watergate hearings, and we'll see ultimately what comes out of this. Comey's own testimony, I think, boxes him into a large extent from previous appearances. But what do you make of the White House war room not doing much warring?
You know, they need to call Greg. ZipRecruiter. just gave you the ad. It can help you find anybody. Look, we talked yesterday about Trump's tweets, and there were these series of response tweets from George Conway, who at one point had been in talks to work in the Solicitor General's office, and obviously he's the husband of Kellyanne Conway, after she had said, don't pay too much attention to Trump's tweets. Look, Trump, you know, when he said, I hire the best people, and he actually put together a pretty darn good cabinet, and most of his staffing selections have been pretty good. So you kind of want to, you know, and you saw the arguments being made for his the travel restrictions that he wanted to enact through executive order. You have to let the people who are working for you do their jobs and do what they do best. And you got to stop trying to do this all by yourself. And when you see something like the White House going through an extensive arguments before the Supreme Court and say, look, this is not a travel ban. And then Trump goes out and says, this is totally a travel ban. You know, completely undermining the argument that his own lawyers are attempting to make, that makes people hard to not really reluctant to work for this president, because you never really know what he's going to say. You never really know what he's going to do. There was apparently a report in Politico yesterday that was really unnerving that said that heading into the NATO meeting, they'd gone through the speech effect, you know, extensively, and Tillerson and McMaster and Mattis all had agreed that the president was going to reaffirm Article 5 and say that if anybody in NATO is attacked, we will honor our commitment and we will come to their aid and defense. And then the president left it out. And there's discussion about whether Trump himself made this decision or whether Bannon and Steve Miller had a hand in it. But the point is, imagine being Mattis or McMaster or Tillerson, and you think you've come to an agreement, and you think you all have consensus, and you think the president's on board, and then at the last second, he totally changes his mind, and he doesn't even tell you. At the very least, you'd think, look, I've come to the conclusion, I don't want to use the line about Article 5. I'm really upset with the rest of NATO for not spending enough money on their military. I don't agree with that perspective, but at least the president would be able to, you know, keep his team in the loop. But he doesn't do it. So why would you want to go out and put your career on the line and try to, you know, and basically work hard to defend the president when at any given moment he can go out and completely contradict what you're saying because he has so little impulse control? I really think it's time to take Twitter away from the president. It's just getting too damaging for him to just impulsively blurt out the first thing that comes into his mind when he's angered by something. What Trump is doing is not that different from almost any previous president. Obama used to fume about his critics. Bill Clinton used to go into purple rages. Nixon, we've heard the tapes of. Every president gets mad about stuff. That's not the problem. The problem is that Trump expresses his anger immediately into the world through Twitter, and it's just too damaging because these are things that are probably best kept behind closed doors. I understand the White House is now trying to argue, but look, the president's Twitter comments aren't really presidential statements. Look, when you're the president of the United States and you type something out on Twitter and you hit send or you hit tweet, it is a presidential statement, and they got to work around this. And I think, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better until they're able to institute some sort of structure, some sort of effort where the people who are professional communicators are attempting to defend the president instead of him flying off the handle and tweeting out the first thing that pops into his mind.
It's been a really encouraging day here on the Three Martini Lunch. We started with reality winner. Then we got to Tim Kaine. This didn't affect the vote totals, but it might have. And then this nonsense. So, Jim.
Well, if I make you feel any better, Greg, as my former colleague Mark Hemingway observed, it may just be that reality has a liberal bias.
Oh, this is the gift that keeps on giving, though. You could not have asked for a better name for this scandal. Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to visit our friends at ZipRecruiter. Right now, listeners to Three Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Join us again on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.